Let me just say, based on what we just sang, if your pathway in life hasn't brought you yet to the cross, if you haven't encountered the cross of Christ and surrendered your life to Him, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You see, friends, at some point, if we're ever going to be part of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven eternally, we must embrace and encounter the cross. And I just want to encourage you this morning before we go to prayer. If your life's pathway hasn't brought you to that encounter with Christ and the cross, today is the day. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Invite Him into your life. Surrender, repent, believe and receive Him as Lord. Embrace the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this beautiful song that we have just sung that reminds us we need to get to the cross. We think of what happened there and we shudder in horror of the pain, the blood, the sacrifice. But we, sinful as we were, need the cross. And so I pray today, Heavenly Father, that people all over our region, our city and our nation and around the globe would encounter the cross in Jesus Christ today and be born again. Thank You, Jesus, for what You have done on that cross, making it possible for all of humanity to have our sins dealt with once and for all and to be called children of God, joint heirs with Jesus. Thank You for that reality. I pray this morning, Father, that Your Spirit would continue to guide and to direct us as we have come to worship You. We do pray for those on our prayer focus. We do pray that You would comfort and guide and heal and save and forgive, anoint, encourage, whatever the case may be, Father, we pray for each and every one. I pray, too, for the families that have lost loved ones, including the family that was here yesterday. May they encounter You in such a personal and profound way. They're transformed by Jesus the Christ. Thank You again for America, but I do pray for America, Lord. We need You. I pray for our leaders in the government, in the churches, in businesses, in schools. I pray that all across this land that revival of the heart, a spiritual awakening would break out. And people would be born again and transformed, and entire communities radically different because of Jesus and encountering Christ and being filled with and led by the Holy Spirit of God. We pray for revival in America, O God. Wherever You see fit, Father, that that might break out, may the embers of revival fire drift here to our communities and revive us also in such a transformational and powerful way. It would be looked at long time from now, should Jesus tarry, as another great awakening in America. We need You, Lord. We invite You here to our service. Touch hearts. Speak to ears. Touch bodies. Strengthen marriages. Encourage young people. Whatever the case may be, thank You for being here with us. We've come to worship You, so continue to guide us by Your Spirit. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this month, as most of you know, has been, as all Octobers have been for a good while, Pastor's Appreciation Month. And I just wanted to take some time to say thank you today for your generosity, your kindness, and your goodness to my wife and I for this past month. We wanted to say thank you because you have done much for us in many, many, many different ways. And we wanted to say thank you for all the beautiful cards and letters. You've written words of encouragement. You've given us many gifts. Wonderful, wonderful things that really we don't deserve all your kindness, but we want to say thank you today at the close of this month for your generosity and your kindness. I told the earlier service, and I mean this, I am a blessed man to be able to serve the Lord in this community and to be here with you in this congregation. And so thank you. Thank you for your generosity and goodness to us. I would also say and remind us, may God be glorified in what we do here. Amen? May God be glorified. It's not about Jim. It's not about a denomination. It's about Jesus. And so may God be glorified in what we do here. And so today I want to share with us just three scripture verses from two different places to encourage us and to spur us on as we continue the work of the Lord. And so, first of all, I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. You'll recognize them as soon as you get there. You'll recognize them for two reasons. One, because I referred to them when I started this series called Urgent Times, and you will recognize it as the story of the woman at the well. But I'll tell you why I chose this two verses for in a moment. John 4, 34 and 35. Jesus had encountered this woman at the well. The disciples were already in town buying food. You know the story. You've read it before. You've heard it. So he has this dialogue with this lady. She goes back to town to tell them, I think I have found the Christ. The disciples come back, and after she leaves, they said, Lord, you need to eat. After all, they went to buy some food. And his response in verse 34 is from their prompting, you need to eat something. And Jesus said to them, here's the verses, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And then he challenged the disciples that day, and I believe he challenges us the same way today. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But Jesus reminded them, as he reminds us today, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He was speaking to the disciples. He was in the Samaritan area. And he reminded them, as he reminds the church of 2017, the harvest fields, brothers and sisters, are ripe. They are ripe all around us. And so, as I mentioned, I used these verses when I started this series called Urgent Times. Why? Because and why do I reiterate them today? Because the harvest fields are really, really ripe. And God calls the church, whom not a denomination, but the church, followers of Christ, he calls us to be part of the harvest. Amen? And so, that is precisely what our goal is here at Motley Free Methodist Church, to be part of the harvest in all kinds of ways, locally and globally. The next verse I want to share with you, then I'll put these together and tell you the method behind my madness this morning, is from Galatians 6:9, one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. Galatians 6:9. Look there in your Bible if you have it with me. Paul says to the church there, the churches in the Galatia area, he says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. King James says, if we faint not. He's encouraging the church on, as I am doing for us today, challenging us and encouraging us so that we, as we see and do something about the harvest fields, don't grow weary in doing it. And to say thank you to all of you for being part of the harvest. I suspect by now that you have realized that ministry can be messy. You don't have to be a pastor to understand that or encounter messiness in ministry. Some of what you do in ministry and the ways that you do in ministering to people can be hard. It can be heavy. It can be disappointing. It can be messy. But I want to encourage us today, friends, the harvest fields are still ripe. Souls still need to be rescued. Souls need to be saved. And God has placed us together in this congregation, in this community, I believe, for such a time of this, to be part of the harvest. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, in my saying thank you to you today and encouraging you in what you do, being part of that harvest, I want to mention a couple of things today in saying specifically thank you to you for what you do. And I want to start with all of you who work with children and young people in any way, shape, or form. Did you know that this last summer when we had our child protection policy training, I invited everybody in one of three different sessions to come here for training. If you worked with children in any way, shape, or form, did you know that over 100 people came to that training? Because we have over 100 people here that work in the nursery, work in VBS, work in kids club, work with youth group, work in Sunday school. Over 100 people here came to that training because they work with young people and children and kids in some fashion. That's a lot of people encountering a lot of kids. And I want to say thank you to all of you, but specifically, first of all, to those of you that are working with this arena of people. I want to say thank you, and here's why. Because you may be the only light some of these kids ever see. Are you hearing me this morning? Jesus said, church, you are the light. And when the light is set on the hill, you can see it. And so when we are working with children, babies, youth, teenagers, whatever you want to call them, any and all of those, you may be the only light these people ever see. You say, Jim, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, you may be the only Bible they've ever seen. When you talk about things from the Bible, when you talk about, certainly we can at least share John 3:16. We can all do that. We can do it anytime, any place. You may be the only Bible that some of these youngsters have ever seen or know. When you encounter some of our community's children, you may be the only hope that they ever know. They may have been through a lot of hopelessness. You may be their only link to Jesus. Bottom line, you may be their only link to Jesus. Every young person, every student, every child from nursery to 20 years old is a potential harvest field. And all of you that work with them, I want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you for working with our community and our church children. You heard me say last week, children are going through tough times in America. Lots of them. Last week I reminded you that 84, you've heard it by now on the news, 84 children had just been rescued from sex slavery. The youngest one was 3 months old, up to teenagers. 84 in one group. But there are hundreds of thousands more in America caught up against their will, in the same way. And while you might say, well, Jim, certainly that's not reality here. Friends, listen to me. It may not be your next door neighbor, but it may be. And it is absolutely in central Minnesota. And so I am just telling you that some of the kids that we're going to encounter have hurt. They have been hurt. They haven't been loved. They maybe have even been abused, misused, and neglected. And so I am simply saying to you this morning, thank you for ministering to children. And may I encourage you, let us not grow weary in ministering to this age group, because in time, if we faint not, we will see the harvest. The statistics in society in America are they're not that good. One of them is 1 in 3 of every woman in America will be sexually abused. 1 in 3. Many of them as children. Some of those children we're going to encounter in Sunday school, in vacation Bible school, in kids club, in teenagers. And I'm simply saying, number one, thank you for what you're doing. Number two, they may be the only hope. You may be the only hope that they see. You may be the only opportunity for them to know about Jesus. And so thank you for what you do. You are the light for some of these young people. You're it. You have a chance to show them the love of Jesus and point them to the only source, the only source of hope, the only source of love. You have a chance to point them to Christ. All you got to know is John 3:16. And share your story. And tell that God loves you. Tell these little ones, God loves you. I got a chance to do that yesterday because there was a funeral here. And we were listening to sharing about Dan. And he has 5 grandkids. And a grandson sat here, and 2 more sat here, and a couple of granddaughters sat here. And pretty quick, the grandsons were crying. And I understand that. I lost my grandpa too, and it hurt. I wasn't that little as this one was. But they're crying. And I simply said to them, and then I had the opportunity later to talk to the 17-year-old right here. Jesus loves you. You see, you don't have to be a pastor, friend, to come alongside young people or old alike and tell them Jesus loves you. You don't have to be a pastor to come alongside somebody that's hurting and say, can I pray for you? And so I'm just suggesting people that work with young people, kids, nursery, teens, whatever, you might be the only light they ever see. Your responsibility is your role when you're in VBS. Whether you're a teacher or a helper or a leader or kids club teacher, helper or leader, or youth leaders and helpers and nursery care workers, your role of loving these kids and perhaps pointing them to Christ can never be underestimated. Thank you, teachers, helpers, people just love on kids. The harvest fields are ripe. And so I want to encourage you, because I know it gets tiresome. I know sometimes you say, oh man, my name's on the nursery again. I know that. And I know sometimes you say, oh, it's Wednesday again. We got to go back there and wrestle them again. I know that. But I want to encourage you, do not grow weary in doing good, because if we faint not, the Bible says, we will see the harvest. Do not grow weary in doing good. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep loving children, your own, the church children, and the community's children. Thank you for what you're doing. I want to say thank you to another group of people too. Because this year, well, kind of my life really, since I've been a pastor, but this year has been one for the record books in funerals. I looked yesterday morning before I did yesterday afternoon's funeral. I looked at my records, and in the last 11 months I've done, and you've helped me with 26 funerals in 11 months. I haven't been in the ministry that long. I've been in ministry a while. But another glimpse at my records reminded me that the next one, which is already on deck, by the way, is 160, the 160th funeral. And so whether you've gathered this or not, funerals are a real ministry here at this church. And I simply want to say thank you to you that help. You're ministering to these families. Thank you for helping minister to these families. God bless you for that. You see, friends, many people that we do funerals for, they're not used to church. You know what I'm saying? They're not used to church. The only time they go to church is at a funeral. I was speaking to the funeral director a while back while he and I rode together to a cemetery to finish a service for yet another family. And I said, with funeral homes in five different towns around here, in your professional opinion, how many families now don't call any church their home? In other words, they don't go. They don't have a pastor. They don't have a church they can go to. And he said, 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 in our communities, friends, don't have a church connection. And so in the last 11 months, I've done 26 of them. I have literally had the opportunity to speak to thousands of people that sat right here, 26 times, 26 funerals in the last 11 months. And you have had an opportunity to come alongside them and just be a smiling face, ministering to them, feeding them, giving them something to drink, helping them along the way. They don't know, many of them, what church is like. You, in ministering to these families, may be the only light, the connection to Jesus. And you're ministering to them in these times. You're it. You see, we're in this together. This is not just a preacher's gig. When he said, the harvest fields are ripe, he didn't say preachers go after it. He said church go after it. Didn't he? Oh, I love the Lord and I love ministry and I love doing lots of things. In fact, funerals. I love ministering to people in funerals, but I'm only one guy. Fairly insignificant at that. But when the church comes together to be the salt and the light and to minister and to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and to love our neighbors as ourselves in tangible ways, like feeding them at a funeral. Lots of times they'll come to our ladies and say, we so appreciate this. They'll come to me or they'll come to one of the ladies and say, how much do we owe you? We don't charge. We are here to serve you. Lots of times you will be the only light, the only connection to Christ that they will see. And so I simply want to say thank you and do not grow weary in doing good. Yeah, but sometimes, Jim, yeah, but you call on us 3 times a week. That's true. Sometimes I do call on you 3 times a week. 1 year we did 3 funerals while we were doing Vacation Bible School. That's just the way it happens. But may I encourage us not to grow weary in doing good, because in time, Galatians 6:9 says, in time, we will see a harvest if we don't grow weary, if we faint not. Let me just move on, because time is moving on. I just want to mention, though, the harvest is very real when it comes to the funeral ministry. It's very real. I was going to move on, but let me digress a moment. Yesterday, after the funeral was over, folks were out there eating and milling about, and the sanctuary was completely empty, except for one 17-year-old boy. And I saw him in here, and I knew he was hurt. I knew he was burdened because he lost his grandpa. He's the oldest grandchild. He sat right here, looking at his grandpa's picture that was right here. And so I just came in and I sat down and I put my arm around him. And I said, I'm sorry, Brandon. I really am. Because I know the hurt when you lose. My grandpa, I lost mine a long time ago, and my heart hurt too. And I said to him, Brandon, Jesus loves you. I know that may be hard to understand. I know you may not know a whole lot about that, but I just want to say that there's a God in heaven that loves you, loved your grandpa, and Jesus wants to walk with you through this journey. And I said, can I pray for you, Brandon? He couldn't talk by that time. He just shook his head. And I prayed for him. And the rest of the day, while he was milling around here, I saw a little bit of life in his step. And I don't say that to brag. I say that to you because these kind of scenarios are harvest fields that are ripe. And it doesn't take a pastor to come alongside a 17-year-old and say, Jesus loves you. Can I pray for you? Any of you can do that. It doesn't take a pastor to love our neighbors or one of your coworkers that is hurting. Come alongside them. I know you're having a hard time. Is there something I can do for you? Can I pray for you? It doesn't take a missionary. Doesn't take an evangelist. Doesn't take a preacher to do that. Anybody in the body can come alongside the hurting and love them and plant some seeds for Jesus. Couple more really quickly, then I'll quit. I just want to say thank you to all of those that are doing so many things behind the scenes. There's so much here. People are cleaning and tending to the facility and tending to the building. And they're just doing a lot of things, painting and cleaning and removing the snow and grass and just so many things. So much happens around here that so many people don't know about. I just want to say thank you for all those behind the scene things that are happening. I want to say thank you very quickly to those of you that are giving in so many ways. One of them is financially. You see, the generosity that has been shown here is just unbelievable. The financial generosity, the physical generosity has just been unbelievable. And I praise God for that. I praise God for you. Many are giving sacrificially of your time. Many are giving sacrificially of your tithes and your finances. And I'm the one, I tried to share just a little bit last week when missionary Don and his beloved wife were here with us. I tried to share you just a little bit of some of the things I learned when I showed you about Venezuela. I get to hear that stuff. Venezuela, Pakistan, Kenya, Teen Challenge, LAPS, all these things. I get to hear that. And I praise God that we have a chance to minister not only in Motley and Staples and Pillager and Leader and Lincoln, but the uttermost parts of the earth. I praise God for that. But I praise God for your willingness to be part of that, because without your willingness to give, none of that happens. And so thank you. Thank you for your generosity. The harvest fields are ripe in Motley, but they're ripe around the globe. And we are connected. We are connected to people that are around the globe ministering the good news of Jesus Christ. And so thank you for your financial generosity. Thank you, men and women both, who are doing things behind the scene. Maybe making meals for somebody that's down and out. Maybe taking them a Thanksgiving basket. Maybe putting up their wood. Yes, there are men here. We have put up wood for people that can't get it up. Maybe it's young fellows carrying in the wood. Thank you for ministering to the people that aren't able to do these things for themselves. Thank you for seeing that the harvest fields are ripe. Thank you for not growing weary in doing good. Thank you for praying. Did you know if we're just a body of believers that comes to take a look at the hymn book and take a look at the good book every week without prayer, we're just another gathering. We just could call ourselves a club. But with prayer, it becomes a body. It becomes a movement of God. Thank you for praying. If you've never been part of one of our corporate prayer events, we have two every week, Wednesday at noon, Saturday night at 6. We'd encourage you to check that out. But thank you for praying at home. Because without prayer, friends, Pastor Les has said it over and over, I've said it over and over, prayer is the lifeblood of the church. Thank you for praying. And so I'm going to close. I've got more I could say. I just want to say thank you for taking such rich, blessed care of Sherry and I this last month, but really always. And I want to say thank you for what you do. Recognize always people. Jess, go ahead. Come on up here. Recognize always the harvest fields are ripe. You say, Jim, I don't know what I can do. Then ask God. Because if you know Christ, you're part of His body, and He has given to you a gift to be used for His kingdom. You say, Jim, I'm no preacher. That's okay. You can pray, you can give, you can help kids, you can love on your neighbor, you can do lots of things to advance the kingdom. And so let me say two things, and I'm going to close. The harvest fields are ripe. They're ripe in Motley, they're ripe all over the world. And let me encourage you, even when you're tired, because I'm tired too, a lot of the time, I ain't getting any younger. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the way you take care of us. Thank you for the way you have provided for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiveness of sin. Thank you for so much. You've been so good to us. Thank you for blessing us in this congregation. Father, now my prayer, as it has been perhaps hundreds of times before, use us for your glory. Use the church, this one, but the church everywhere, for your glory. May we see what you see, O God. The harvest fields are ripe. May we love like you love, O God. May we be that light to young and old alike. May we show them the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. May we come alongside the hurting, the desperately hurting, the homeless and the weary, and be the light that you have called us to be. And in all of this, O Lord, help us to not grow weary in doing good. Because your word says, in due season we shall reap. If we faint not, help us, Father, to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.